morning, it's always great to come together to study, worship. What a wonderful thought as we had just sung the Psalms, thinking about the love of Jesus, the sacrifice that he had made, which takes the Lord's Supper, the communion, and that remembrance. So wonderful love that he has for us. It's good to see all the visitors we have with us this morning. I'm thankful for you being here. It's encouraging to see you here. I hope that we're an encouragement to you as you're with us. It's good to have a good number here. Of course, adding to our number, all the college students being home, I really noticed it being in the young adult class back there. You only have two sometimes, or three, and then you can get a full classroom where they actually have to pull a couple seats out that's been folded up. It was nice to have them all here. Side note, well, not really a side note, it goes along with the lesson. Happy Mother's Day to everyone, all the mothers here. We talked about, again, the singing. We sung about the love of our Lord, the love of God. But today, a lot of people are thinking about the love of mothers. Mothers and all that they do for their children and just continuing to do that. And, of course, as you have children, you inherit friends that become close to the family and just how they have a part in helping many more than just their children. So I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow through the lesson this morning, going forth and talking about mothers. Again, because it's a yearly thing, every time, whether I try to figure out if I want to do a lesson on a holiday or not, because when it's the same thing every year, you want to make sure it's something different. You're not preaching the exact same thing every time, just making it a repeat. But that is the Word of God, too. As we continue to teach the Word of God, it is the same. It does not change. And so a lot of things do get repeated. We need that. We need that continued encouragement to remember the ways of God. First thing I want to bring out and talk about mothers this morning. I want to bring out the sacrifices that they make. Sacrifice that they're willing to make for their children to help them personally, physically, to help them spiritually. The sacrifices they make and the willing to make for their children. I want to start off, if you will, in John chapter 16 and verse 21. One, a mother sacrifices pain in just having children, right? And John chapter 16 and in verse 21, it says, "Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will say to you again, your heart will rejoice." No, verse 21. I'm reading verse 22. Sorry. "Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world." Again, this is not new news. This is known to all of man. As we study through the scriptures, it's brought out time and again that from the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve had committed that first sin, that this starts, is part of the punishment from sin, of eating of that tree of knowledge and good and evil. But yet, even as time goes by, and it's known that it is a hard labor, that it is a painful labor, and mothers continue to choose to have children. And some have more than one. And they're willing to go through this pain and suffering to bear a child. Have a child, to have a family. Again, so it starts off with this sacrifice, a sacrifice that mothers are willing to make to be able to have a family, to be able to have a child, to have a kid. And it is such, again, it's not just a small bit of pain. Just as we remember the sacrifice of Christ that he went through, it's not just a death and that was it. He suffered. And the mothers go through a great suffering to bear their child. And it's so much that God uses it as illustration throughout the Word of God to point out how much pain someone else is going to go through. That he refers to this. He refers to child labor because how much pain there is. But then it brings out that second point in this verse. It brings out the point that the pain is almost forgotten because of the joy that there is in the child that is being placed in their arms. And so it starts off with a great
sacrificed.
And it continues through the child's life that mothers have this love for their children, that they're willing to make great sacrifices. Turn along with me to Exodus chapter 2, if you will. Exodus chapter 2, here talking about Moses' mother. And, of course, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he is seeing how large the Israelites have grown and that they're growing great in number. And he's trying to slow that number down. He's trying to make sure that Israel doesn't become someone that they have to fear and that they might turn against them. And so he's going forth and killing the male children. And, of course, you have some maidservants that are not willing to go forth and do as they were commanded to do. But here we read about Moses and what takes place here. It says, "But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile." I want you to think about what the mother had done here. She made a sacrifice. Once she was willing to sacrifice herself in hiding her child for a while. That she loved her child and didn't just do as the Pharaoh said. And then she's willing at this time and point where she can no longer hide the child. She knows that it's going to get out. That she's willing to give him a chance. Like one of them placing him in a basket and putting him in a room and allowing whatever to take place. Because again, anyone could have been by the river and found that basket. Anyone could have. The basket could have been turned over and he could have drowned to death. He could have died. But to give her child the chance that they needed to survive, to live a life, she made this sacrifice. Not, you know, having hope that good would come from it. And what good did come from it? The sacrifice that mothers are willing to make for their children day by day and getting up. And helping their children, and teaching and raising them, and showing them, and guiding them, and protecting them, and all that they go through. Even to the point of, I believe it's a sacrifice when we punish our children. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13, a personal sacrifice, because, again, we don't enjoy making our children upset. We don't enjoy causing them harm. But we know that there are times in which it calls for it, times in which that they need to learn a lesson. And so here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13, Proverbs 23 and in verse 13, says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with a rod and rescue his soul from child." And so we make the sacrifice of disciplining our children and telling them no in times that they want to do something that you know is wrong, and the mothers are willing to make that sacrifice. The mothers want to tell them that you can't go out and do this with these people. You can't go out and wear certain things because they're trying to protect their children. Here, that discipline, it says we're protecting them from a greater punishment. That they might not see the consequences of their actions right away. And right away they go out and, you know, many of their friends do these things. They go out and they party, they go out and drink, they go out swearing, cursing, and wearing whatever they want. And we say, well, no harm came to them. But if they don't change their ways, if we continue down a worldly path and not a path that God has given to us, it leads to a path of destruction. And sometimes as parents, we make that sacrifice. Mothers make that sacrifice in telling their children no. And even disciplining them when they try to talk back or they go ahead and do it without the permission from their mothers, that they are disciplined for it. And in the eyes of the children, they may be the bad guy at the time and point, but it's a sacrifice that is willing to be made. Willing to be made. So that their children are raised up in the right way. So that when they get older, they know the right path in which they must go. I'm sure that we can all think of times in which our parents disciplined us and we were not happy about the situation or told us no and we're not happy about it. But they were trying their best to make sure you were raised in the right way. And I know there's probably many examples you can think of that go along with this, the sacrifices that you as mothers have made. And we say thank you. And another point that bring out is the mothers willing to teach. You know, we often go to Ephesians chapter 6 and we read there where it tells us, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And it is on the fathers to train and teach their children, but that doesn't take away from the mother's part in teaching. There are many verses throughout the scriptures of mothers, women, teaching. And so I want to look at a few of those. If you will, turn along with me to Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, we see Naomi, the mother-in-law who is willing to guide her daughter-in-law in the direction in which she needed to go. She was willing to make the sacrifice and told her at first to go ahead and stay in her land, to not come back with her as she was returning back to her home. But as she comes back, Ruth is willing to do the work. She goes out and labors in the field, and Boaz realizes realizes the work that she's doing, that she's being a virtuous woman. And so as the news comes to Naomi, in verse 1 of chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1, says that Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you, now that it is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley and threshing for tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put your best clothes on, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." As you read along, she continues to instruct. And then she returns and gives a report. And then Naomi again gives her instructions, guides her in what she should do, how she should act, what needs to be done. She's teaching. She's teaching these things. She's instructing her, guiding her, leading her in the way that she should go. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, if you will. Titus chapter 2 and looking there and in verse 4. Titus 2 and looking there and in verse 4. Here it reads and says, "And so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." Again, older women teaching younger women, guiding them and instructing them how to be good wives, how to be good mothers, how to love and respect their husbands, how to raise and love their children. This, again, is something that older mothers have gone through and younger mothers are learning. But we help guide and teach one another so that we can learn to do it right. So that if we can learn from mistakes of others, we don't have to make those own mistakes ourselves, though we do sometimes. But they teach, they continue to guide, they continue to show and help others in the right direction. In Proverbs chapter 1, if you will, as we go back to the scripture reading that Logan had read for us this morning, Proverbs 1, here it makes mention of both the father and the mother. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." And so again, as we think about the parents' teaching, it's not just the father teaching and instructing, but the mother's teaching also. And here it's saying, listen, do not forsake, do not ignore the teachings of your mother. Teachings that will help you become a man or a woman. Help you become an adult that knows what to do and to not go down the wrong path. And Proverbs chapter 31, here we have the first chapter of Proverbs talking, again, listening to your mother, hearing her teachings, hearing her instructions. But in chapter 31, again, it ends with a mother instructing her son. Proverbs 31, and in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the oracles which his mother taught him. What, O my son? O what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my bowels? Do not give your strength to women, or give your ways that destroy the kings. And so again, here's this, who's teaching him? His mother. His mother had taught him and guided him. And saying, listen, be smart and wise in the wife that you choose for yourself. And would it not go for the same thing for daughters? Daughters, be wise in the husbands that you choose for yourself, whom you are going to date, who you are looking for to be the one that is going to help you in your life and help you to raise your children. And then, of course, here in Proverbs 31, it goes forth and talks about the virtuous woman. She's guiding her son to look for the proper woman to date, to marry, to be one with. Again, here, it's the mother. Mother is teaching and is guiding. We got to be thankful for the teachings our mothers give. Again, here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Timothy's father was not a Jew, and he was not one who was teaching him and guiding him in the ways of the Lord. And so he had his mother and his grandmother who helped instruct him and guide him in the right direction. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 5 here says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Here's the sincere faith. Other translations may say genuine, a genuine faith, the genuine faith that your mother and grandmother had. I can see it inside of you. I can see that they guided you and they taught you and they showed you the right way and that you took it in and you listened to the teachings that they had instructed you. And so again, children, make sure we listen to our mothers. Listen to the instructions, the teachings that they are showing you, trying to lead you in the right direction and help you to grow so that you, at that time, come to an age of accountability that you can make the right decisions, that you can know that you are going in the right direction. We thank our mothers for all the teachings that they have given to us, the examples again, and shining their light as they live the life, knowing that they're being watched. And everything that they do, as the children are always there, listening and watching. And so again, we thank our mothers for that. And so my next point, my final point that I want to make this morning, is speaking to the children, asking a question: are you going to be a blessing or a curse to your parents, to your mothers? Now, right off the bat, we might say all children are always a blessing, right? Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. We know that children are a blessing, are a gift from God. Psalm 127, if you will, turn there with me and read with me there, starting in verse 3. It reads and says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies again." Again, I know that my grandma and grandpa, this is one of their favorite verses, say our quivers are full, and they'll list how many children they got, and how many grandchildren they got, how many great-grandchildren they got. They just they throw that number out. They say, our quiver is full. God is blessed. They are a gift from God. Naturally, children are a gift from God. This is a blessing that we have, that mothers are gifted to have. Turn along with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and looking there and in verse 1. Proverbs 10, and looking there and in verse 1. As it reads here, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." Again, children are a blessing, and mothers want to have that love for their child. We've always going to have that love. Wherever their child ends up, they're always going to have a love for their child. But when a child goes off in the wrong direction, a child rejects the teachings that have been instructed to him or her, guiding their child in the right direction, they reject it. They go off in the wrong direction. They go off and they just continue in a sinful life. They become drunks or sexually immoral, adulterers and fornicators. They go forth and live a sinful life in the world. How that brings sorrow to the mother. The mother continues to worry about the child, continues to pray for their child, continues to have hope for their child, but not knowing. Knowing, especially for those who are Christians, knowing that, if they don't make their lives right with God, that they are heading down a path that leads to destruction. The sorrow that is in their hearts. And in chapter 15 and verse 20 of Proverbs, Proverbs 15 and in verse 20, here's a similar verse. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. You know, I'll use my family as my own example for this morning's lesson. At this point, and I know I probably brought up my brother in the past, but my oldest brother, I don't know where he's at. That I know goes through my parents, my mother's mindset of, we just hope to hear good news that he's still alive. And we know most of the time he's around somewhere, but he's gone off the path. He is not being a father. He's not around his children. He's not living the life that he ought to be living. He's chosen the ways of the Lord. From time to time, I'll ask the question. I'll say, have we heard anything? Do we know anything? Do we know where my brother is? And you just know it's not a good situation, good talk. It brings grief to the heart. Are you a blessing or a curse? Understand that all the wonderful things that God has blessed us with upon this earth is one or the other. It's either a blessing or a curse. That we can be that good and wonderful thing, that wonderful thing that we can sit and talk about as we do as parents, talking about the proud things, the happy moments that we have with our children when we see them doing good, when we see them put the hard work in. Then there are those moments that they bring grief to our hearts because we know that they could be doing better, because we know they know better. They know the right choices that they should be making. And they go off in the wrong direction. Understand, as children, we can bring grief to our parents' hearts, to our mother's heart. So what are you? Are you a blessing or a curse? Do we honor our mothers? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm reading there in verse 1. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor your parents. Respect them. Let them know you love them. Make sure you let your mother know you're thankful for the sacrifices that she made for you. Thankful for the teachings that she has given to you, the discipline that she was willing to do to you, even though at the time and moment, discipline didn't seem good, but in the end, leads to our faithfulness and being good people, good morals, being faithful to our God. It's good that we do have a day in which we set aside to remember our mothers, to say Happy Mother's Day. Don't let it just again be once a year that we let them know that we appreciate all that they do. Being virtuous women, being one who is putting God first in their lives. Again, if you go back to the Proverbs 31 there, as it goes forth and talks about that virtuous woman, that virtuous mother, it says, the husband and the children will rise up and honor her, saying, blessed is she. And so let us be thankful to God that he's blessed us with mothers that are willing to have that love for us children. Don't leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. I know it wasn't about necessarily on what one needs to do in order to be saved, but I'm sure if you're here this morning, mothers have tried to tell you that you need to put your faith in God. And if you're here and you have questions about what needs to be done to be saved, we ask that you let it be known so that we can help study with you. You're here, you do know what you need to be done. You know that you must believe in Jesus in order to be saved, and that you need to be willing to confess your faith and put sin behind you and be baptized to wash your sins away. You want to do that, we are here to help you, to assist you in doing that. Or if you're here and you need prayers and prayer, we let it be known.